Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen will continue to update you on the storm cleanup and the potential for more storms later this afternoon. Meanwhile, quite a few schools are closed today due to power outage issues, delays. We have the entire list at kdkradio.com. Pittsburgh public schools are open, but there are 8 schools that are affected, and they're doing what they call synchronous instruction. That's Brashear is one of them. Joining me is the chief academic officer with City Charter High School, Angela Welsh. Angela, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
I've never met a chief academic officer before.
Well, today's your lucky day then.
It is. Also, assistant principal, and the reason we've asked you on is because, and you wouldn't be alone, having concerns about the major cuts proposed by PRT because of tremendous funding shortages. So what was the outcome from, they had a couple of sessions to talk about this subject to get public feedback?
Absolutely. So the outcome has been interesting so far. A lot of people have reached out to us about hearing our voices. I thought it was important that we go to the hearings and have our students be heard on this subject because they use the buses as their primary form of transportation, whether it's coming to school, going to work, seeing family members, assisting their family to medical appointments, and so on and so forth. And so they heavily rely on public transportation. And if it were to be cut, it would significantly impact their lives.
And what did you hear about what potential resolutions there can be? Because the budget is the budget, and if the money's cut, they got to make the cuts. Who's going to pay for the difference if they don't?
I mean, that's a good question. And while we didn't hear much back from our comments, we did get to talk with the CEO from PRT, and it sounds like she's going to come down here for a visit to our school because we are located downtown. And so I think that a lot of people express their fears, and you're right, exactly. I mean, if the money's not there, it's not there. But also, I have to think about, as a school leader, if the money is not there and the buses are cut, I don't have students coming to school. And that's a big problem.
Angela, I'm curious, what percentage of your students use mass transit to get to classes?
So 99% of our students are using mass transit. And so whether that's the T or the bus, and so there are only a handful of students that are transported in other ways. And so our whole school functions because of the bus system and the T system.
Yeah, I certainly, 99% you said?
Yes.
Well, I mean, this is an absolute game changer. But yes, Again, they've got to find a way to fund at least getting the kids to school one way or another.
Correct. And also, you know, I want to mention we're not the only school affected by this. I think we are just the first to sort of step out and say, hey, this is going to be a major problem. What are we going to do about it? And so there are other schools, and I'm encouraging them to also step up and speak, because our students are powerful and their voices will be heard by others. And I even say this sometimes more than the adults.
Are there any conversations that you're hearing about of resources to bring funding in?
No, not at all. Not at this time, at least.
And how long a process are we talking about till this would take effect?
So I'm thinking that we're hearing starting in 2026, that would affect the buses, which is actually the worst time for us because that's in the middle of the school year. So families are going to have to make some decisions. Obviously, we want to keep all of our students here. And so we're hoping that they don't have to make those decisions because this will be figured out at the higher level.
Have you had a chance to look at the proposed route cuts and then project how that would affect your student population?
Absolutely. So between staff and students, many routes are cut, specifically from some areas that students would not have access at all. And so those are the students and the families that are very concerned about making choices for next school year. And so when you look at where our students are coming from and what buses they take, there are some kids that will have no access and not be able to get to school. And so that's really concerning. And there are popular areas where groups of our students come from. So Northside, then there's Brookline. There are a lot of areas that will be affected.
All right, what's the next move? What are you hearing?
So we're going to invite the CEO down to see us, and then we will continue to make our voice heard at the PRT public hearings in May and June. And we'll continue to fight. And that's all we can do at this point. Get our name out there, get our students' voices heard, and we'll see what happens.
Angela Welsh, Chief Academic Officer with the City Charter High School. Appreciate your time. Good luck. Keep us posted.
Okay, sounds good.
From our newsroom.
Yes.
Good morning. What's trending?
It's not a good morning for me.
Why? What happened?
I don't have electricity. I still don't have electricity. I am furious about this.
What's the longest you've ever gone without electricity?
Probably about 8 to 10 hours, if that. Like when I go to sleep, I wake up and my electricity is back on. But I have issues like the tree down in my mom's backyard. My mom doesn't have electricity. I don't have electricity. My mom has dementia. Moving her from one location to the next location.
Very kind of, challenging.
It's challenging. So yesterday I wasn't here because of all of these things that are happening. And to get to this point that I can say, I can't say, because I still don't have electricity. And it's challenging for me at this particular time.
Well, as you heard yesterday, Duquesne Light spokesman, who's the vice president of operations, John Hildebrand II, at the end of his part of the press conference that they had in the city, what caught everybody's attention was they said five to seven days.
Additional. Yes, and that's where I am right now. It's like, and then we're talking about it. It's trending. People in these communities are, you know, upset. I have, Larry, literally on Sunday, I went grocery shopping because Jasmine's flying in town because Kayla's graduating on Sunday. So I went grocery shopping and all of that hundreds of dollars of food, I must say, is gone. It's I have to throw it all away. I mean, I don't have the luxuries of uprooting myself and staying in a hotel for 5 to 7 days for myself and my mom. And I mean,
even if you could get one,
that is true as well.
The marathon's coming. They're already
booked out. Yeah. So that's trending with me, not tea, but that's trending with me.
Well, I appreciate that.
No problem.
It's a great challenge dealing with parents who are having memory issues. That's really, I feel for you.
It is nothing you could describe to anyone who has not dealt with this. You cannot describe this. It's something that in order for you to understand, you have to live with it. You have to be a part of it. And I think dementia and Alzheimer's is not discussed and talked about enough because everyone you know, someone knows someone who has dealt with this horrible disease. But we have questions. But anyway, that's a whole other story. I just felt I need.
Well,
to
that is truly trending with you.
It is. But anyway, do I smell when I come in? Does my fragrance offend you at all?
Not at all.
Well, a New Jersey bakery asked customers wearing strong perfume to use the drive-thru that's part of the debate. It's crazy. They're asking customers.
You smell so good. Get out of here.
And then it's causing problems for the workers. They are sneezing and people have allergies and it's the time of the year or people.
Where is
you know,
this?
Going to say, in New Jersey.
And what kind of place is it?
It's a bakery in New Jersey. I mean, part of me, I understand. I truly do. That if you have the smell of the perfume offends you, but then you say, hey, you know, you can't smell the fragrance of the fresh donuts and pastries and all of the above.
Well, so, I can tell you, Mark Soraya wouldn't throw you out because you smell good.
Exactly. And we have Starbucks. This is near and dear to my heart. Starbucks just 3D printed an entire store. So people are on social media saying, is this the end to actual construction jobs? So, hey, that could be a thing. In a video that's shared on Instagram, construction crews can be seen working alongside a robotic arm as it methodically lays layers of concrete to build the structure, much like a printer deposits ink line by line. So,
I have seen a video of this. It's remarkable.
It is. So, I mean, hey.
That's the future. You want a 3D printed house?
I don't know. My husband's in construction. We have a problem.
No, yes. Embrace the technology.
Anyway, Beyonce's what?
Go ahead.
What?
No, go.
I'm talking, Larry. I'm trending right now.
Clearly.
But anyway, Beyonce's tour. She started. It was the 28th, and Little Blue is out there doing her thing. So a lot of people are saying, is this a tour that she's actually putting Blue Ivy in the forefront because she's performed in several of the songs on this tour, but people are complaining about the prices and the seats and they can't hear and the sound system is horrible. It's like people's lives are just upside down.
You wouldn't know back in the day because they didn't have social media to post
correct
this stuff.
Now it's damaging, but social media is damaging to lots of people in the business, in the music industry. You could be a 10 one day and wake up tomorrow and be a 1.
Well, I got a couple for you.
Okay.
Off of what you and I talked about, you brought us trending with Bill Belichick and his girlfriend.
I saw that.
On that CBS interview, there's blowback now.
Yes, there is.
Because Bill Belichick saying, hey, I agreed to do that interview, and here are the parameters, talk about my book. And they started going off the rails on the girlfriend who was sitting there. And she goes, we ain't doing that.
But hey.
That said, they're saying, She shouldn't be demonized for calling out Tony Koppel of CBS.
Well, there are times when you know you appear in front of CBS, right? And you have no idea. I mean, it happens. It's the game, you know, and I understand.
If you write a book,
you want to talk about the book. But sometimes you got to slide a question or two in there.
Yeah, I don't blame Tony for asking, but he's getting some blowback now, too. Oh, wow. One other thing.
Yes.
Shedeur Sanders in that prank call.
Yes.
Apparently, this the defensive coordinator for the Falcons, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the Falcons. Jeff Ulbrich.
Yes, with the Atlanta Falcons.
His son.
Yes.
Got a hold of, on his dad's iPad.
Correct.
The phone number of Shedeur, and he pranked him during the draft.
Yes.
Well, yesterday, Dad met the media.
Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this. The Sanders family, Shedeur and Coach Sanders were
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Amazingly gracious. More gracious than they needed to be in a moment like this.
That was a phone call?
Yes. And it was an opportunity for myself and for my son to apologize.
So apparently, Shadur and his dad, Dion, took the high road. But the NFL has already fined the Falcons $250,000. And Ulbrich, who makes $1 million a year, $100,000.
Correct. What took so long? Trending with tea.
Tea. Hope you get your power back. Please get T's power. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our powerless producer, Aaron Ferragonio, and talking to Tamira Rush. Feel, you know, I got lucky. I got my electricity back yesterday, early afternoon. So grateful to get it. And it's so many people, you know, just under 200,000 still without power, including you.
Oh, yes.
And you have trees down around your house, and you just got your house.
Yes, we just got our house. I'm very thankful. We have a very big tree, and it's not positioned where you would think it was in danger of falling on the house, but it's very big on sort of a downward slope, and probably the top half of the tree broke off and fell into the road in front of our house. So it didn't necessarily impact our house, but it's very messy. You know, on our street, just debris everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of cleanup continues. We had a beautiful day yesterday to do that. Unfortunately, there's the possibility of severe weather again, not as widespread. So we had a chance to catch up with the National Weather Service meteorologist Jason Frazier, and the survey team concluded it was straight-line wind damage for most destruction happened east of Pittsburgh, Schenley Park through Regent Square to Wilkinsburg, Churchill, Edgewood, and generally north of the Parkway I-376. Damage consistent with 90 to 95 mile an hour winds. And the survey team was out, so we asked Jason about what they saw in detail.
The survey teams went out and reviewed and looked at all the damage that was occurred across the region. They surveyed all sorts of places, and some of the damage they are seeing was indicative of winds that were that 90 to 95 mile per hour. And based on the direction of things damaged, there was no tornado. This was all straight line, but it shows that even if it's not a tornado, if we get winds that strong, it can do serious punch to the region. And obviously, a lot of areas are still reeling here this morning, and we're hoping for their recovery and quick order, and hopefully today we can maybe avoid additional things, but that's what we're going to be looking out for this afternoon and evening.
And so with this afternoon and this evening, what is the risk for severe weather?
We do have a slight risk outlook for the region here this afternoon and evening, which is a little bit less probability of for these impacts from damaging wind, hail, can't even rule out a tornado compared to the last event. What we're looking at is timing is similar timing, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. time range, that we could see kind of a broken line of storms moving through that could have, you know, winds around the 60, can't rule out 70 mile per hour winds, maybe some hail. So a region that already doesn't need more, there is that potential. It's just a little bit lower probability, a little bit lower confidence that we can get these storms to those severe levels today, this afternoon. So it's best to continue to monitor the latest forecasts, watches, and warnings as we'll continue to look at the situation, try to keep people abbreviated what to expect.
We're with meteorologist Jason Frazier from the National Weather Service. I'm sure you and your colleagues have talked about this. In terms of widespread damage from a thunderstorm system, Tuesday has to rank way up there, especially looking at those 90 to 95 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, so it's one of the more impactful events that we've seen in the Allegheny County area and listening area. We've kind of looked back at some of the records, and we're still collecting information from this event, but there's been a couple other instances where we've seen widespread outages totaling over 100,000. We've had a couple events where wind gusts at the Pittsburgh International Airport were stronger than the 71 that was measured with Tuesday's event. But this is still one of the higher end events that we've the region has seen, and it shows with just how long it's going to take to kind of recover from. That's the hope, that today we don't add to that impact that we saw Tuesday.
Before you go, Jason, just peeking at the marathon weekend, we have tens of thousands of people coming this way. How about that forecast, particularly on Sunday morning for the actual marathon race?
So fortunately, we kind of get a lot of the stuff out of our region, especially for most of the day. So we are looking at least cooler temperature, which runners will like. The uncertainty comes with, do we actually get the rain out of here versus being dry? And there's still a lot of uncertainty that it had been trending, looking nice and dry. If cool for that morning, chances are starting to increase, or we're trending towards maybe there's still lingering showers for runners starting that day before we have a drier set up for next week. So unfortunately, it's not a very good forecast. It's a very 50% probability it could or couldn't rain. But I think we're going to have a lot more understanding as we get a day or two out from that. Get through these next couple of days, we'll have a better handle of what's going to happen for the race and runners there on Sunday morning.
Appreciate the time as always, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you.
And yesterday, almost 24 hours ago, during Marty Griffin's show, the city of Pittsburgh held a press conference with everybody involved in the process of the cleanup. Most importantly, Duquesne Light. And John Hildebrand II, Vice President of Operations for Duquesne Light, spoke. Some of the highlights and the takeaway comes right at the end.
It is already clear that this is an unprecedented event in the history of Duquesne Light companies. More than 250,000 Duquesne Light customers experienced an outage. That's about 40% of customers we serve. Our first and foremost focus is about safety, safety of our team members, safety of those coming to help, contractors and others, and safety of the public. Please assume any lines that you see are energized. Stay clear of them and call 911, and we will coordinate a timely response. Sure. As another indication of the magnitude of the event, we've received reports of more than 22,000 hazards, some of which are wires down, some of which are poles broken, et cetera. Another key element to appreciate the magnitude of the event, as you know, a transmission system feeds the neighborhoods and customers that we serve. Our transmission system has been impacted, and there has been some damage. We're working to recover those sources. We want to cite the Duquesne Light workers, the line workers, the troubleshooters, those in the operations center, those in the contact center, all working diligently to safely field our customers at this time of their greatest need. We're estimating 5 to 7 days of restoration time at the moment.
That's what got everybody's attention at the end of that conversation with John Hildebrand, 5 to 7 days. So do the math, a lot of people, nearly 200,000, still dealing with no power.
News Desk. Governor Josh Shapiro toured the storm damage Tuesday in Pittsburgh.
Everybody is focused on this, getting the power turned back on, making sure folks are safe. The destruction is really something here as we've traveled across the region today.
And the governor's visit included, Larry, a stop for pizza at Fiore's.
And shortly after, they condemned the building. However, yeah, they're putting a temporary roof on, and as soon as they get that done, the mayor said he'd expedite if it passes to get them back open.
And there was a tragedy at PNC Park last night when a fan fell over the Clemente Wall.
It's extremely unfortunate. I mean, that's an understatement.
If you see the video that's gone viral, and they're talking about this around the country, how this happened is the question after, you know, how many years at PNC Park?
From what I was told, I have yet to see the video. I'm not sure if I want to, but anyway, what I was told is the fan jumped up. He was sitting at the rail and jumped up and fell over. Something had happened he was excited about. It was a 21-foot fall. He's in critical condition. And here comes marathon weekend.
We might be approaching 47, 48,000 by the end of the week. So we're super excited to welcome all the people from around the world in town.
That is a big number. That's just the participants. Add another up to 200,000 people who will come to spectate. And now the people who are seeking to go to a hotel, motel.
Even for one night of relief, you know, like a nice warm shower, some television, air conditioning, right?
Yeah, people that don't have power.
So try to get a hotel vacancy. Find one on, they'll probably be pretty scarce.
It's a very, very big challenge. But the marathon, and a lot of people are coming in today and certainly tomorrow for the marathon weekend from literally all over the world. And we'll keep you posted. Tomorrow we'll have details of what the game plan is. But Troy Schooley, the CEO of P3R, is very excited because running conditions for a marathon are going to be pretty good Sunday morning.
Yeah,
cool.
A high of 67 later in the day, so it'll probably be in the 50s when they start.
And then a week from Sunday's Mother's Day already. And then before you know it, they've got Memorial Weekend. And
then you're saying, where did spring go, right?
Right. We had summer-like temperatures today.
Yeah.
That said, next week.
Back to normal.
Thunderstruck. Colin Dunlap is going to be leading this.
Oh, that's right.
AC/DC at Acrisure Stadium on the 8th. And there's going to be more musical talent coming to Pittsburgh. How about Eric Church? Country superstar announced he's going on the road. Free the Machine Tour. 22 area shows starting on the 12th in Pittsburgh. How about that? Pittsburgh's always factored in. So they got Philly, Boston, New York, Seattle supporting his upcoming new album, Evangeline versus the Machine. And that'll be released tomorrow. Tickets go on sale on May 9th.
Boy, today's country music is so different from the country music that we grew up with.
Oh.
And the country music we grew up with was called Countrypolitan. And the people who were really, back in the day, country music performers from the era of like Hank Williams Sr., etc., would say, you know, the same thing about what we're saying now, how it's just morphed over the years.
My first professional job was country music.
Oh, that's right. Down at West Palm, right?
Y-108. Well, no, here first.
Okay.
Before I went to Florida and worked in West Palm Beach, the spirit of the Palm Beaches, W-I-R-K. Here, it was at Y-108. We were in the Fulton Building, which is now the Renaissance Hotel, on the 11th floor with our studio windows overlooking what is now the massive North Shore. And when I was there, there was one thing over there, a cement donut on an asphalt tundra.
Yeah, not much to look at, was it?
No, I mean, all the development that you see now was supposed to happen back then that never took place. But say the least.
No, it looks good now.
I was playing songs like I've Done Enough Dying Today.
And, you know, what you could have not known when you were looking through that view from the 11th floor across the river, what you could not have known at that time was there was going to be a brand new baseball park that's like the showcase for Major League Baseball. And there's this guy named Kenny Chesney who's playing in the brand new stadium next to it, right? And a flotilla of boats docked along the riverside. I mean, it's incredible what's happened.
So successful, Kenny Chesney. And speaking of which, Megan Maroney is making her childhood dreams come true. Another country star has just announced that she will be releasing a duet next week on May 9th with Kenny Chesney called You Had to Be There. Not only did she post pictures of those two together on social media, but also included a snapshot of her ticket order from 2018 when she attended his Trip Around the Sun tour just as a fan. How cool is that?
What a transition that has been.
Yeah, Kenny Chesney. He's been here a bunch of times. People love the show. I've been there. I enjoy it. Old Blue Chair. He's got that vibe.
Well, he's picked up and run the ball that Jimmy Buffett laid on the field when he died, right?
100%.